people discuss and talk about that they believe in. All right? What we're focusing on is not the question, do you believe in God, but rather, do you believe God? And there is a big difference between those two. Yes, indeed, we need to believe in God. But what this is all about is challenging us to step it up even more and simply learn to take God at His word. When He says something in His word, do you believe Him? If you do, then how is that going to affect your daily life? Because a lot of people believe in God. If you ask them that question, do you believe in God? Again, survey after survey, 80 to 85% of people in America say, yes, I believe in God. The problem is that all you got to do is look at our society and see that it's not having a whole lot of effect on the way they're living their life. They believe in God, yes, that He exists, but they don't believe God. Because if they believed God, then it would truly change the way they behave, and it would reflect in the way that they're living their life every day. So the question I've been throwing out and challenging you to think about through this series of lessons is this: how would your life change if you were to stop just believing in God and start believing God? In other words, learn to take Him at His word. This study is all about looking at things that God has promised us, statements that God has made saying this is what's to be, statements of fact from God. Right? How are we responding to God's word? We got one or two choices, either believe or disbelieve. So, we began this year, this whole study, based on this passage that James tells us about Abraham. That God called Abraham from to leave his home country and go to a land that He would show him, and it says that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So that's what we're trying to do, is to learn how, like Abraham, to believe God and simply do what He says to do. Okay? So this morning, as we continue this series, we're going to talk about kingdom first living. Living for the kingdom of God first in our lives. Now, everybody, I think, you know, most of us would agree with this, wouldn't we? That everybody wants to be first, okay? We all want to be this guy right here, all right? Nobody wants to be this person that's having to wait in line, right? We want to be first, and that's what we, you know, you got to wait in line. You don't want to be the last one. You want to get up there in the front of the line as much as you can, right? So we all want to be first. Well, did you realize we get that from God? Okay? All right? In other words, God wants to be first also. All right? Now God is not just this selfish thing like we oftentimes are, but God is indeed a jealous God, and He says, I want to be first in your life. And unlike us, He deserves to be, does He not?
Man.
Are you sure about that? You didn't sound very convincing. Okay? God deserves to be first in our life because He created us, you see? And He created this universe that we exist in. And not only that, but He gave the very best gift that He could give, His one and only Son, so that you and I could live eternally with Him. I think that deserves for Him to be first in our lives.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but I know for myself, I haven't done anything near like that to deserve to be first in line for anything. See? That's a huge difference between us and God. We want to be first, but we don't deserve it. God wants to be first, but He deserves to be first in our lives.
Amen.
Let me ask you this question. What are you worried about? What kinds of things do you worry about on a regular basis in your life? You know, by worrying at a single hour to his life. Anybody ever done that? And just think about it this way. If our life is so bad that we're worrying about everything, why would we want to add a single hour anyway? Okay? I can't wait to get there to see him. So quit worrying just based on that. You see? We can't add anything to our life by worrying about it. It's his point. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Did I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these? If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not, look at this, much more clothe you, you of little faith? Now, let me ask you this question. Is that a promise or is it not? We need to learn to take God at his word. Do we not? There's more to this promise here. Okay? He goes on, and look at what he says. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And look at this. Why? He says the pagans run after all these things. So what is he talking about? He said the people of the world, those who don't belong to Christ, that's what they do. They worry about all this stuff all the time. And we as God's children cannot be like the world. If we're going to be like them, what's the point? He said. That's what the world does. And that's why the world is on, you know, so much drugs and alcohol and all the other stuff it's doing, trying, because they're so worried about all these things that they got to try to numb the worries. God doesn't want us living that way. He wants us and calls upon us to be good. Look at the next statement that he says. Your heavenly Father knows that you need those things. Okay? He knows you need them. So why are you worried about it? Okay? And he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. What things? The things that he's just been talking about. What you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, all the daily needs that you have. He says, all of these things will, he says, they will be given to you as well. Okay? Now, how many of these things? All these things. Now, that is a promise, is it not? Okay? That is a promise you believe. What do? We worry. We worry and we worry and we worry about things that we really don't have a whole lot of control over. And so often we play this game. You ever play this one? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this doesn't happen? What if we worry ourselves sometimes literally sick? Because we stress ourselves out worrying about things we don't have any control over to begin with. Worry about all the different things that are going on in our life from day to day. Someone said this, worry doesn't prevent disaster, it prevents joy. Just think about that for a minute. Or, put it another way, Charles Brown and Linus, worry won't stop the bad stuff from happening. It just stops you from enjoying the good. How much good things in our lives do we miss because we're worried about the bad stuff happening? We don't even enjoy the good things. God calls upon us to stop worrying so much about everything. Okay. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul says this, do not be anxious about how much? Anything. Okay? Now, what is excluded from anything? Nothing. give it to Him. No matter how big, no matter how small, in every situation.
Amen.
Stop worrying about it and give it to Him. Okay? Let's talk about first things first. Going back over to Matthew chapter 6, this is what He says. But seek first, and there are two things that I want you to notice that He talks about here that we need to be seeking first. He says, first of all, His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness.
Amen.
Those two things. This is the basis of the promise that He has given. You seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Okay, what does that really mean? Well, His kingdom, it means that we acknowledge Jesus as Lord of our life. Lord of our life. Jesus over in Luke says this, the kingdom of God is where? It is within you. So what does that mean in terms of us seeking first the kingdom of God? Well, I think at least in part, it means this, that you allow your heart to be God's throne room, that He's sitting on the throne of your heart. Then He is Lord of your life. So you're seeking His kingdom to rule over your life. What about the righteousness part? Seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Well, in the Beatitude, chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is that righteousness? Well, I think it's the best definition I've ever heard. Do what's right regardless. Regardless of the consequences, regardless of what anybody else is doing, regardless of what anybody else thinks or says, do what's right. That's the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That Jesus calls upon us to seek first in our life. Now you see, I think part of the problem as to why we worry so much about things is because we're seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, but we're doing that not first, but sometimes not second or third, it's after we seek everything else that's going on in our life. I mean, let's be honest here. Is He really first in our life, in your life, on a daily basis? That's the call and that's the challenge. Because He doesn't want to be second or third or fourth or wherever else down the line. And that's why He says, up against the backdrop of all the things that we worry about, He says the better way is to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. In other words, make Him first in our life. And then all those things that we typically tend to worry about, He says, they will be given to you. Okay? Remember, we started out this study looking at Abraham. Again, as I point out to you, we saw that Abraham, it says, believed God, okay, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And that's what this is all about. It's calling upon us and challenging us to believe God when He tells us to stop worrying and put Him first in our lives, and that will be credited to us as righteousness. Just as it was with Abraham. And here's what He says. This is the rest of the promise. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Talking about what we need. We need food, right?
Yeah.
We need clothes. We need shelter. We need all those kind of things. And He says, stop worrying about this stuff because it will all be taken care of if you will put Him first in your life. Now, that's a promise. That's pretty promising. promises to do is to take care of your needs. Now, here's something that we need to understand. Sometimes our needs get in conflict with our wants, right? And the two of them kind of seem to push against one another. And sometimes our wants, if we're not careful, can kind of take over and take precedence of our needs. And we put more importance on our wants than we do our needs. And not only that, but a lot of times what we do is we expect God to take care of not only our needs, but also our wants. Well, I don't know of anywhere that He promises to take care of our wants. Okay? Now, He does sometimes, doesn't He? You ever had any wants taken care of? In other words, things you didn't need, but you wanted, and God took care of them? Hey, everybody raise your hand if you had anything like that. Everybody's hand should be up, by the way. Okay? All right? So He does take care of our wants, but He doesn't promise that He's going to take care of our wants. He does promise to take care of our needs. Okay? So the wants all are always going to get taken care of. But He promises to take care of our needs. Do you believe? Okay. Do you believe?
Paul, when he wrote his letter to the Colossian church, chapter 1, he talks about Jesus. And identifying who this Jesus really is, and look what he says. He says, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in, look at this, how many things? All things. He might have the preeminence. Okay? What does that word preeminence mean? Literally, it means first place. How many things does Jesus want to have as first place in your life? Are you sure about that?
All.
How many things? All things. So in other words, there is nothing that He will accept that you can say, I'm going to give Him first place in all these things, but this I want to hold for me. It won't work. It won't work. Because He wants to have first place in all things in our lives. Everything. First place. That is kingdom first living. Now we have to make a choice whether we're going to allow Him to be king in our life and to hold first place, or whether we're going to be in first place of our own life, or whether we're going to hold something back from Him and not allow that to be Him to be first place. Let's go back over to Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7 and notice this part of the promise. Okay? We saw the first part. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And look at this part of it. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Well, what does that mean? Well, again, let's go back to the worrying that the world does. This is an understanding that the world cannot possibly grasp. You see? Those who are not focusing on Christ can't understand that kind of a peace. That's what he's referring to. In other words, as one person put it, it makes no earthly sense. That kind of peace just doesn't make earthly sense. How can you have peace in the midst of all this turmoil that's going on in your life? That's what they would ask. And the answer is what? Well, it's the second part of the problem. That peace that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's why you can have peace in the midst of turmoil. Why? Because you have a guard for your heart and for your mind, to keep you from just completely falling apart and worrying and stress over the stuff you don't need to be worrying about. Because you're giving all of those things to God. And He will give you that peace that you need. That's a promise from Him. Again, we worry, don't we? We worry about all kinds of things that we have no business worrying about. So, are you committed to stop worrying, okay, and put God first in your life? That's what the challenge is this morning. Quit worrying about the stuff. Most of it you don't have any control over anyway. And put God first in your life. That's what He calls upon us to do. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all those other things will be taken care of. That's His promise. Do you believe Him? Okay? So, here's the question for you. How will believing God in this matter, that is, you know, in stop worrying and putting God first, kingdom first living, how will that affect your daily life? Okay? What would you change or do different if you really believed God concerning this matter, this worrying? How would your relationships change if you really believed God concerning this? While we're singing our invitation song, Chuck has chosen for us. Again, as we've done each time in this study, I want you to be thinking about responding to this question from God. Do you believe me? Is there something going on in your life that maybe you've been worried about? That maybe has got you just all twisted and tangled up? Maybe stressed out? It's affecting your health and your relationships. If there's something like that going on, bring it to God this morning. Lay it at His feet. Put Him first. We have to worry about that tomorrow. Something maybe you're not worried about or stressed out, but maybe something you just need some guidance, some help, encouragement about. Let us know that. That's what we do as family here. Okay? And if there's someone here this morning who's not yet given your life to Christ, you need to understand that you're separated from God by your sins. And if you die in that state, then you will be lost forever, for all eternity. But the great news is that you can remedy that right now this morning. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, you're really willing to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Put Him on the throne of your heart. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. We've got water ready right behind me. It's ready, isn't it, Chuck? I saw you checking it this morning. So there's no reason for you to wait. If you desire to be baptized into Christ, you can do that right now. Ray and Dale will be in the back to receive anyone if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with one of them. Jerry and I will be up front to receive anyone like to come up. Let's stand together and sing.